For Parshas Chukas, we will have 5 Divrei Torah. We are going to focus on the beginning part of the Parsha, which deals with the Para Aduma, the red heifer, and also various Tuma and Tahara issues. So we're going to start at the way beginning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe and Aaron, the concept of the Para Aduma, Zas Chukas HaTorah. This is the statute of the Torah. As we know, there's a distinction between Chukim and Mishpatim. Mishpatim are the statutes of the Torah that make logical sense to us. Don't kill, don't steal. We could have figured that one out by ourselves. However, there are others that we never would have figured out because it's difficult for us to understand or impossible for us to understand. They make sense, but we simply don't get it. Those are the chukim, and that's what we're talking about here. This is the chuk, the chukas haTorah, talking about the para aduma. It says, speak to Klal Yisrael, and take a para aduma. Speak to take that red cow, the red heifer. It has no blemish, upon which a yoke has not come. So Rashi, the first Rashi on the Pasuk, first Rashi on the Parsha is very important for our first Torah, focusing on this concept. Zos Chukas HaTorah, this is the statute of the Torah. It says that the Satan, the accuser, that's also our Yetzer Hara. Our Yetzer Hara and the Umos Olam, the nations of the world, the non-Jewish nations, they cause us grief and they say to us 2 points. Number one is Maha Mitzvah Zos, what is this commandment? This red heifer, it makes no sense. On the one hand, you need somebody pure to prepare it, to prepare the ash, but that person becomes impure. But when it's sprinkled on the people who are impure, they become pure. This doesn't make any sense. And number two is Matam Yeshba. What is the reason for this? And accordingly, the Torah tells us it is a chukah. It's a chok. It's a statue, which means 2 points again. Gzeira himilefanai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is my decree that I have issued. And number two is, Ein lecha reshus lahar her achareha, you have no reshus, you have no permission, you have no right to question it. And we are going to dice this Rashi up as follows. There's an amazing parish that says that we should apply this to every mitzvah that we approach and want to do. And he says as follows, that in fact, before we do a mitzvah, the Yetzer Hara, that's what we said in this Rashi here, that's the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, attacks us and says, Maha mitzvah zos. Point number one is, why are you bothering with this? What are you going to get out of it? Do you really think there's any need for this mitzvah? Do you really even think it's a mitzvah? So the Yetzer Hara, our internal Yetzer Hara, attacks us, trying to prevent us from doing a mitzvah up front. And Emir Tzashem, we will overcome. But even if we overcome and we're successful and we do that mitzvah, the Yetzer Hara has a different tact and attacks us again. After we're successful, we've done that mitzvah, they say to us as follows, Matam Yeshba. In fact, you did a great thing. There's so much meaning and greatness. You're terrific that you did this mitzvah. And in fact, what the Yetzer Hara is trying to do is to have it go to our head, to build our gaiva, to build our arrogance. And that's the second approach to the Yetzer Hara. So up front, trying to dissuade us. But after the fact, it can no longer dissuade us. Let's try to work on this person's midos and have it go to his head that he did this mitzvah. And accordingly, the response that we have to have to this Yetzer Hara is twofold. In advance of our doing the mitzvah and thereafterward, in advance, as the Rashi tells us, 2 points, Gzeira himilefanai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when talking about the Para Aduma, this is my Gzeira. We are extrapolating that to every single mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is a mitzvah. You need to do it. This is a huge opportunity. You need to overcome the claims of the Yetzer Hara. And after we've done it, and we know that we're going to be attacked in that second way by the Yetzer Hara, saying, let me build this person's gaiva. You did great things. Let it go to your head. After we've done this mitzvah, we have to be careful. We don't have permission to let it go to our head. We have to simply move on from that mitzvah and then do the next one without reflecting back how great it was that we did that mitzvah. We are now moving on to Perek Yutes, Pasuk Beis, and it says, we've just read it, the same Pasuk, Asher Ein Ba Mum Asher Lo Ala Aleha. Also, that Para Aduma, that it doesn't have a blemish, literally it doesn't have a blemish, and Asher Lo Ala Aleha Ol, upon which a yoke has not been placed. So that's what's talking about the Para Aduma, and the Chozemi Lublin extrapolates that to, let's apply that to ourselves. Let's apply that to people. Asher Ein Ba Mum, how do we look at ourselves? Somebody who looks at himself and says, I have no blemishes. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm perfect. I have no character flaws. I have nothing to work on. Then that is the person, ashalo Allah alah ha'hol, that is a person who has not taken upon himself yirah shamayim, that has not taken upon him the yoke of shamayim, the o malchu shamayim. Somebody who can say that he has no blemishes, that is clearly a person who is not yirah shamayim. That is clear. That's a siman muvchak. That is so evident. However, somebody who has taken upon himself Malchus Shamayim, somebody who is a Yirah Shamayim, is going to obviously see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect, but no one is perfect. And he will say, I do have muming, I do have blemishes that I have to work on. So that's a nice Musar Haskel, the importance of having Malchus Shamayim in order to improve our character traits. We are now moving forward to Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yudalet. So now we're going to talk a little bit about Tuma and Tahara. So there's a certain type of Tuma called Tumas Ohel. And what that means is if there's a dead body, Rachmala Litzlan, inside, under a roof, all people and various items underneath, they have Tami, all food items, there is Tami. That's called Tumas Ohel. Even not touching that the dead body, but simply by virtue of being under the same roof, that is going to be called a Tumas Ohel. So the Pasuk says as follows, Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Amus Ba'ohel. This is the Torah of a person who passes away in an Ohel under that roof. There's a famous drush of Chazal. Why does it say Torah and Misa and death in the same Pasuk? So Chazal tells us the famous phrase, Eina Torah Miskayemes Ela B'misha Meimis Atzmo Alea, that the Torah is not going to survive unless it is somebody who literally, or actually figuratively, kills himself over the Torah. What that means is, in order to be successful in learning of Torah, you really have to work hard. That's meimis atzmo ala, that you kill yourself, meaning you work incredibly hard. You cannot become a Talmud Chacham the next morning and sleep the night through. It takes work, it takes effort. So that's what Chazal, they are telling us, that the Torah cannot survive. It cannot be incorporated into somebody's life unless you work through it, unless you work hard at it. So the question that we're going to grapple with in this third Dvar Torah is, why does it say, Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Amus Ba Ohel? Ohel is a tent, something that's temporary. Why didn't it say under a roof, under the house, under the ceiling in the house? What is the significance of an ohel? So in fact, it goes as follows. An ohel represents something that is temporary. And if we can realize in this world that our being here in Olam Hazeh is just a temporary thing, this is the Pruzbol, as we talk about in Pirkei Avos, this is simply the entryway that we are passing by. We're simply guests in this world. That is reflected by the ohel, something that is temporary and not permanent. We are just temporarily here. If we can take on that belief and that knowledge, then we will be successful in being able to focus on building our ruchnias. But somebody who feels that this is the place, this is the be and all, this is a permanent location for us, and there's nothing elsewhere, we're not preparing for the world to come, that is a person who will not work hard at his ruchnias, because why? Just enjoy yourself here because there's nothing to come. So the key here, Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Amus Ba'ohel. Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Amus Be'ohel. The key here is that somebody who's going to work on Torah and he's going to really work hard at that until he kills himself over it, if he has the view that this is simply an ohel, we are just passing by, if that's the case, there he realizes this world is not for practice. This is the real thing. And then he will be successful in the acquisition of Ruchnias. We are now moving on to number four. We are in Perek Yutes, the same Perek Pasuk Tesvav, continuing in the concept of Tuma and Tahara, V'chol Kli, Pasuach, Asher Ein Samid Patil Alav Tamehu, talking about an earthenware vessel that does not have a cover on. That's Kol Kli Patuach, talking about an earthenware vessel, Asher Ein Samid Patil Alav, it doesn't have a cover, it's going to be Tameh. So again, this is talking about Tumas Ohel. So if we have an earthenware vessel underneath that ohel, so there's a dead body there, and it's underneath that awning under the roof, together with a body that somebody passed away, that kli will only become tameh if it doesn't have a cover on it. What that's saying is, if it's earthenware and it does have a cover on it, it's not going to be tameh. That contrasts with all other types of vessels. For example, a metal vessel, that whether it's covered or not, it's going to become tameh. So we had a vort a few weeks ago, maybe it was even last week, talking about the difference between earthenware and other types of vessels. So we're going to go through that, but we're going to add a critical point. We're going to take it to the next level. The Kutzker Rebbe is actually going to take it to the next level. So the difference between when we have something made of earthenware and not earthenware is something that's earthenware has very little, if no intrinsic value, very little. And accordingly, all of the value is what's inside that vessel, not the outside. So something that's earthenware, it cannot become tamei from the outside, only from the inside. And it doesn't even have to be touched. It's simply if something tamei comes into its airspace, it will become tamei because all of the value in earthenware is what it holds on the inside. So that's what this pasuk is telling us. If you have that earthenware vessel that is underneath the roof, if it has a cover on it, it's protected because there's no tumah that's able to enter into the airspace. It doesn't become tamei on the outside. It's covered up. It's other vessels, whether they're covered or not, they can become tamei because they have intrinsic value. They can become tamei in the outside. So they have tumas ovel while they are covered or not. So here we have this earthenware vessel. So the Kutzker Rebbe says as follows. That's his explanation, that earthenware, simple clay, has very little intrinsic value. But what he adds on tremendously, that all the value is the contents, he says a yid, a Jew, is just like an earthenware vessel. And he says that there's little value. There's no value from the outside. It's not about what you look like. It's not about the clothing that you wear. It's not about the car that you drive. All of the value in a yid is from the inside. A yid, when he has mitzvahs, when he has Torah, that has tremendous value. Just like the earthenware vessel, if it's holding something of value, it has value. If not, doesn't matter the outside. Same thing with the Jew. It's what you do with your time. It's what you do with your effort. It's the mitzvahs that you do. It's the Torah that you learn. That is what creates tremendous value in a Jew. And now we're actually going to, in our fifth vort, we're going to build on that. Same positive chokli, pasuach, she'ein samit batil alav. So Rav Moshe Sternbach in his Tam Veda says as follows, that here, nira sherem es lanu apasuk shbekan lechol davar patuach. Here we're going to build on this. We're going to extrapolate that we're talking not only about a kli that is covered or uncovered, but we have a remez here in this pasuk for everything that is open, not covered, not protected. It doesn't have that lid on it. Shim ein la adam shlit al pi, for example, if you don't control your mouth, bad things come out, lashon hara, curse words, etc. come out, or even your thoughts, if you're not controlling your thoughts and they are simply open to the latest philosophy in the world, as we've seen these philosophies come and they go with communism and socialism, and even before that, Hellenism, all these isms coming and going, and if we have our minds and we're not protecting them, we're not controlling them, but they're open to what the wind will blow in next, tamehu, that's impure, because we need protections. We need to be controlling what we say, how we say it, what we look at, and not only what comes out, but what goes in as well, to protect ourselves from the negative philosophies that pop up throughout the world nowadays all too often. And to take it to the next level, Rav Moshe Sternbach, he quotes Rav Shimon Sofer, who says that indeed this Yisod Chovas Kisui Arosh, this is the same thing as wearing a head covering. Men wear yarmulkes, hats, etc. on their heads. What's the concept here? To protect our thoughts so our thoughts aren't hefker. That's a sign. That's what it symbolizes, that we should keep that skull cap on to show that we need to protect not only what we look at, what we eat, but how we think as well. But by virtue of covering our heads, mora ki chafetsu, it's showing that we desire to limit our thoughts to what is proper. And accordingly, as we see, that typically when somebody decides to, unfortunately, what they call go off the derech, to stop being a shomer Torah mitzvahs, the first thing that happens typically is the yarmulke comes off. Why is that? Because it's showing that I'm not going to be protecting my thoughts anymore. I'm going to be going with the philosophies of the world at this point, symbolized by the head covering coming off. That's the ein tzamid pasil alav. He no longer has that cover to protect. When we take the cover off the earthenware pot, the tumah comes in. So too, when the yama comes off, indeed, the tumah comes in as well. And that's the chashivus. That's the importance of keeping our lid on, keeping our protections on, protecting ourselves, controlling ourselves, what we look at, what we hear, and not only going out, but coming in as well, what we eat, what we look at, what we hear coming in to our bodies, and the machshavas and philosophies that we allow to ourselves to hear and allow to have an impact on our thinking process. Thank you so much for listening.